Welcome to this Friday edition of Wynn Tucson. I'm Kathleen Wynn, and today we're going to talk about issues. We're going to give you some information so that you can make informed decisions. And as we go on, this morning's topic is a little tough. I'm just going to say that the more that I find out about what's happening in our schools, what's happening in our society, that people are attacking our children. And I am fortunate today to have two guests that are working together, and I thought it was perfect to bring them both on. And I will introduce our first guest is Sieke Smith, who has started an organization, Mom Army, to stop the war on children. A strong mom stands up for her children. A stronger mom stands up for all children. And then, so welcome, Sieke, to the show. And glad to have you
Hi,
here.
Thank you.
And we are
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
We're thrilled to have you today. And also, we have on Simon Essler. And Simon is a film producer who is going to be debuting a new documentary, which is an investigation into cosmetic surgery, feminist sexual liberation, and the modern media trend as part of a warped legacy that is being handed down to our young girls. And the girls that are already struggling, teenage girls, young girls, they're already struggling with who they are, being loved, being accepted, and that the message that the media and those that are trying to manipulate our girls is that your body's an obstacle to who you truly are. So we're going to talk about a film that he's got coming out. It is going to be premiering April 15th. So, Simon, welcome to Wynn Tucson.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, so I think what I want to do is start with Simon, if it's okay with you, Sieke, and then, but feel free to jump in. You guys have been working together, so I'm kind of the newcomer, excuse me, to this. Simon, the film, what was the catalyst? Why did you want to do a film to expose, which I'm going to just say is the mutilation of our children?
Well, you know, I had been researching for many years what I saw as a war on the family unit. I was researching that from the perspective of warfare. I had just finished making a docuseries on that topic. But what happened was when I was looking at it in a way that was broken down between what is being waged against mothers, what is being waged against fathers, and what is being waged against children, looking at what was happening to children, I unavoidably came up against the phenomenon of gender ideology because the impact seemed to be so incredibly strong and the structure of our society is being so rapidly altered to cater to gender ideology that I ended up doing a lot of research that became its own body of work. And through doing that research, I really came to discover that the harms of gender ideology are hurting girls way, way, way more than boys.
Correct.
And this was a startling discovery that it was affecting girls alongside other things that are really deeply affecting girls, like social media. I came to discover that the effect of social media on girls is completely different than boys, that it affects their development in terms of self-esteem and identity in ways that it does not affect boys. And so I just felt really compelled to pull together a body of research that looked at all the different compounding factors weighing on girls trying to become women in our society, and to put it forward within a body of work that was not politically charged, that was not religiously charged or any of those things, to try to create a broader conversation, because it doesn't matter what your politics are if you're a parent. You have a child that needs to be protected, and if you have a daughter, these factors are affecting your daughter because they are the factors of modern society that are unavoidable. And so, I wanted to release something that would expand people's awareness beyond just the struggle with gender ideology into a range of topics, including social media and cosmetic surgery.
And we're going to get to the outcome of that in a moment. But I, Sieke, how did you have an organization that's basically stopped the war on children, and you and Simon have teamed up to debut this film, but But your story started before that. So explain to my audience what Mom Army is, what your goals are, and what you've done in such a short amount of time. It's very inspiring. And you're here in Arizona, correct?
I am, yes. I'm in the Phoenix area. Well, Mom Army is a survivor-led organization, and our mission is to activate and unite, you know, warriors for children to protect them and their innocence and to essentially stop the war on children and the relentless attacks that we're all witnessing right now. We launched last August, so a little less than 8 months ago, on Instagram, and it just took off. And since then, we have launched, we have formed 25 chapters around the country, including Canada, the UK, and Australia. So it's been incredible to be on this journey and see so many people rise up to fight for our children.
You know, we would never send our children into war, but we have them on the front lines every day. And if we as parents don't wake up and see what's happening, and this to me is probably the most evil that we have in the world. We talk about sex trafficking, we talk about the gender ideology, you know, critical race theory, diversity, equity, inclusion, social emotional learning, all the things that are happening, and then this gender stuff that's being peddled. And that's not what our education systems were for, but yet our children have been put in as some kind of social experiment. Simon, this film that is going to be released, you two are collaborating, so I'll let you both answer this question and you guys decide who goes first. But you're doing this film to create awareness of a trend that was happening that started 10 years ago with girls getting plastic surgery. So Simon, why don't you go first and then join in afterwards to say what you're going to use the film for and for your fundraising events. So go ahead.
Yeah. So when I was researching the broader aspects of our society that preceded the explosion in girls identifying as transgender, what I uncovered was that there was this huge rise in teenage girls seeking breast augmentations and labiaplasties. And, you know, a lot of this came from them being disinformed by doctors and surgeons, being told that their labia are not correct, that they have what's called labia minora hypertrophy. So the parents and the girls being misled by the medical community, and then also being impacted by trends in the media. The cosmetic surgery journals, they state that they believe that girls seeking out more cosmetic genital surgery is as a result of being exposed to pornography. So it was relevant to me to find out that all these girls all of a sudden wanted to modify their breasts and genitalia in such large numbers, and then the same population of girls gets exposed to gender ideology and this idea that they can be trapped in the wrong body, and you start having that explode as well. And to me, there is a through line here. It is the message that your body is an obstacle to who you are and that you need to modify your body to become who you are. This is very different than just expressing yourself with beauty trends. This is about creating permanent changes in the body based on fixed trends that are being handed to you by media entities and medical entities that are actively disinforming girls. For example, they didn't include in any of their literature that changing a girl's labia as she's developing is dangerous, because girls' bodies go through cycles.
Right.
They don't just settle, right? They change as they grow older into women. Women's bodies don't really settle until they're in their 20s in many ways. So that to me was very relevant, and it showed that there was a messaging system in place that helped the explosion in trans girls occur so quickly. And I think it's important that we take heed of and take responsibility for all those cultural norms that were in place before gender ideology, so that we can see the elements of this that were not inserted from a political vantage point.
Seek, I hate to do this. We have to take a short break, and when we come back, I want you to pick up where we're going out right now, and how this is affecting our children and what we can do as moms and dads to stop it. You're listening to Wynn Tucson. I'm Kathleen Wynn. This is 10:30 a.m. The Voice, trusted local news and talk. The war on our children. How do we protect the next generation? We'll be back right after these messages. Welcome back to this Friday edition of Wynn Tucson. I'm your host, Kathleen Wynn, and my special guests today are Seek Smith and Simon Esler. Seek, when we went to break, we were talking about the effects of basically these surgeries that are highly unusual for young girls to have, and we haven't mentioned an age yet, but if you can answer that, I think whoever wants to answer that, because the age of these girls being asked to have these surgeries is so disconcerting. But also, what do we do as parents, Seek? So I'll let you pick up where we went off into the break.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, as I said earlier, you know, I think we're coming to the realization in modern society that there are these relentless attacks on our children from every institution, whether it's the educational system, the, you know, the medical system, media, entertainment, you know, coming from the very top at the White House. And the messaging that is coming is parents are losing their rights in many, many states. There are bills being drafted and presented all over the place that is minimizing our role to protect our children. And then it's on the flip side, it's indoctrinating our children into believing all of these things. And so what we saw and why Mom Army was created and formed is that people were very acutely aware of the attacks that were happening and wanted to do more. And I think, you know, to piggyback on everything that Simon is talking about in the film is that he is looking at this from a broader perspective of, like you said, social engineering and indoctrination and brainwashing of our children. What chance do they have if this is the messaging that's coming at them from every angle? And so for us as parents, we are tasked with a very, very important duty to fight back, not just to protect our children, but to fight back against the systems that are coming after them. And so I think, you know, awareness is obviously one thing that we are working very hard to do, and we do it through projects like a documentary like Cut. So I'm very grateful to be connected to, you know, to Simon to collaborate on this film with him. And, you know, and I come from a very personal perspective because my daughter is at the exact age that is being targeted. She's 12. She's, you know, in middle school. She's, you know, becoming a teenager. You know, things are changing. Her body's changing. The friend circles, you know, and the peer pressure and all of the things. And we have to empower our children to build confidence, to teach them to love themselves, to teach them to not worry so much about the outside influence of their peers and media and protecting them from technology. I mean, there's so many things that are different from the way I raised my older children. They're both now adults. And to see the generational difference in how I've had to raise her versus them, it's night and day. And the tools that we have to help to provide parents on how to navigate this, you know, what's coming at their children, it's a lot, you know. I mean, it's going to be hard to encapsulate into one, you know, one conversation on the show, but
yes.
It's definitely something people should really start to become aware of and start to look for resources that can help them navigate this.
Well, it seems to me that this is a concerted effort to brainwash our next generation and to replace the ideals that come from a family, that come from our, whatever your religious faith is, and to displace that with some kind of other ideology. Simon, there's this story that is this, that this film is based on. Do you mind sharing just some of the film, which is called Daughters of the West?
You mean the case?
Yes.
Yeah. Or are you talking about the court case that's in the film?
Whatever you, there's so much in the film. So whatever you want to, whatever you want to share that you think would be good for people to hear, to engage them in this. So I'll leave that to you.
Yeah. Well, to speak to what you were asking about earlier, you know, the rise in girls getting labiaplasties, we're looking at girls under 18.
Okay.
That's one of the numbers that has been rising. So, you know, it's been rising in young women and girls around the age of 18 and girls under 18. So we are dealing with minors who are pressuring their parents into consenting to them getting labiaplasties. We have doctors pressuring the parents to consent to the girls getting labiaplasties. So that's, again, that's preceding the trans craze and all the surgeries and
Simon,
medical interventions.
Would you mind taking a moment to explain when you have that surgery what the end result is?
So when a girl gets a labiaplasty, what's happening is they're cutting part of her labia off to try to change the shape and proportions of her labia minora versus her labia majora. And there can be permanent loss of sensation, so they can end up with permanent damage. This is, and again, this is not being explained to these girls. They can end up with issues throughout their life because of the surgery, because they were just trying to get a specific look that is not only in the media, but even the cosmetic surgery journals are saying there's one specific look that these girls want.
Could it result in sterilization?
The labiaplasty does not result in sterilization, but the procedures that have to do with gender ideology and gender affirmative care 100% have and are sterilizing girls.
Okay.
In many of the cases, these girls are losing the ability to have children because they are going on testosterone. They're getting hormone blockers to block puberty. Sometimes they're, you know, if they're getting their breasts removed, even if they're lucky enough to be able to have children, they will never be able to breastfeed. There are lifelong complications from the procedures that they're being coerced into through the gender affirmative model. And so the damage is just escalating. And some of the girls, if they go on testosterone long enough and then they decide to go off of it, the side effects of going off of it can be so severe that they need a hysterectomy to save their own lives.
So
we're looking at permanent severe damage.
So to me, it's a way to, it's a concerted attack on our girls. That's the only way I can look at it.
It is
an absolute war on our young girls. And what you just said basically is if they do the puberty blockers or they get on testosterone, and they decide to go off, that the only way that they can save their lives is to become sterilized. So if that isn't, that's evil to me.
Absolutely.
And why are parents, and maybe they just didn't know, but why are parents not, I think this is where we need to educate parents. Children do not have the legal authority to go have these procedures done. And as parents, we need to, and grandparents, we need to say, not on my watch. My kids aren't going to get unnecessary surgeries to do these things. And you're not a bad parent if your child's trying to figure out what gender they are. You don't need to have surgery because kids change their minds every 5 minutes when they're teenagers. So, you know, just...
Yeah, actually, the parents is a really important thing to talk about because there's a lot going on there. On the one hand, you have parents who are consenting to this because they are disinformed, they've been misled by propaganda, or they've been emotionally blackmailed. They've been told that if you don't give your girl this gender-affirming care, she will kill herself. And so some of this is manipulating the true love of a parent. But then there's other circumstances where the parent's consent have been removed. For example, a girl can self-diagnose with gender dysphoria. She can go to a Planned Parenthood clinic, and she can get the testosterone herself with no adults, no therapists, nothing. You also have some surgeons who will consent to giving a girl a double mastectomy, again, with her self-diagnosis. This is in Abigail Schreier's book, Irreversible Damage. She interviewed the surgeons herself. So in some circumstances, the parents are being removed from the picture entirely. In other circumstances, a parent may want to get good information, and if they go on the internet, it's very hard to find true information about gender-affirmative care. And they might not realize that it's been stopped in the United Kingdom. Gender affirmative care has been stopped in Norway and in Sweden. But a lot of parents are not getting access to that information. They're only being told they have to, and it's the only way.
And there's a line in your movie about Would you rather have, what, a dead daughter or a live son? Can you tell us that quote real quick?
That's right. That is, would you rather have a dead daughter or a live son is the emotional blackmail line that doctors are saying to parents to encourage them to begin to transition their children into medical transition. So that's the emotional blackmail line that is being repeated over and over and over again.
We're going to take a short break, and we come back. Seek, we'll talk about how do we engage parents and educate them so they can do what's very best for their children, not what's best for social media. This is Kathleen Wynn, Wynn Tucson, on 10:30 a.m. The Voice. We'll be back to continue this conversation in a few moments. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson. If you, like me, are fed up with the attacks on our children, we have two wonderful guests today. Simon Essler, who is a film producer and is getting ready to release his film, Daughters of the West, and Seek Smith, who has started Mom Army. And Seek, what do parents do to protect their children? It seems like, I have to say, my children are have made me a grandmother, and I'm so glad I'm not raising my kids right now, but I fear for my grandchildren. And what, as a parent right now, there are so many different ways that they are trying to get access to our kids, and I feel like it's organized. I feel like they have a plan, and this is a progressive taking of the freedoms of our children and trying to intentionally destroy their psyche, their futures, and our next generation. Am I wrong?
No, you're spot on. I think there's two things. There's the silence. You know, people have just been living their lives, raising their families, which is what we're supposed to do. At least that's what we thought. And then, you know, I always say our silence is what got us here. So we're at a place where we can't be silent anymore. And beyond that, we need to get activated. So one, yes, be involved with your children, you know, build them up, you know, empower them, all the things. But there's the flip side of it. And most of us aren't activists. You know, we're just trying to live our lives. But unfortunately, many of us who are part of Mom Army, what I deem, you know, you turn ordinary moms into warriors. You know, we are all at a place where we can't leave this battle for our children to fight for themselves. It is really unfair. This is a battle that has been put at our feet, and we need to take responsibility for where we're at in this time.
I have to say, I love on your website, you say, we are looking for unapologetic, outspoken warriors and fierce protectors of our children to join Mom Army. Could you share your website so that my listeners can go there after the show?
Yes, you can find us at www.mom-army.com. The activation of people and giving them a place and building a platform to help guide and direct. You know, everyone comes to this from different personal experiences and how they want to fight this, because it's such a big war. There's so many battles that need to be won. And the Mom Army is on purpose, because we do treat this as a war, and that's the only way we're going to be able to win it, is if we address this issue, you know, honestly and truthfully. And so our group does things, you know, we protest all ages drag shows across the country. We work with our legislators, you know, to support bills that are protecting children and protecting parental rights. We vocally oppose bills that are coming after our children. So there's a lot of activism on the policymaking side. We have members that go to school board meetings and voice their opinion in that area. But a lot of what we do as well, especially with, you know, partnering with Simon, is how do we inform parents? You know, how do we get the information in a way that is consumable and shareable, right? We're in the age of social media. We can't get honest information from our mainstream media. So we have become, you know, all of us have to become citizen journalists and start sharing and start talking to our neighbors and start talking to our family and friends. I get the information, but there's a lot of people around me that don't get the same exact information. Yeah, so that's really important, is that we continue to speak up, we continue to share. It's kind of scary because we're in this cancel culture. People are losing their jobs and losing their livelihoods. So for those of us who can speak vocally, we need to get louder. And I understand for those that can't because their job is at stake. So there's other ways to get involved. I mean, obviously, it takes money to run an organization like this. So if being vocal isn't an option right now, you know, $5 donation, $10 donation, anything can help because, you know, a lot of our members are volunteering their time and spending their own money to do things. And so yeah, I mean, there's so many ways. I mean, reach out to us on our Instagram. We check our DMs. People are always asking how they can get involved, and we're happy to help in that
and
area.
And that's mom, M-O-M, dash, army, ARMY.com. So check that out. I love the thing you say. Our vision is a world where kids feel safe, loved, and honored. And you were made for such a time as this. You know, and I always ask the question, if not me, then who? And if not now, then when? And I think we are at a critical time. Simon, you guys have collaborated. You're going to be showing a film on April 15th. Can you tell us about that event and what you're hoping to accomplish? Your film's done, obviously, how can people, if they can't go to your event, it'll be in Chandler on the 15th of April, how can they get access to your film?
Well, so you can go to daughtersofthewestfilm.com, and you can currently pre-order the digital version of the film. You can also get tickets to the premiere event if you do want to attend in Arizona. And people have an opportunity to join the newsletter at the website, where you can keep in touch with all the different projects that I'm doing to support girls and all the different things we have going on. The newsletter will get you a discount on the digital version of the film. So that's going to be released on April 15th, just after we do the premiere. And the premiere itself is also a fundraiser for the Gavel Project. I interview Ryan Heath of the Gavel Project in the film, who is fighting to get justice for Sage, who's a young girl who was just permanently traumatized by gender ideology. And so the film premiere itself is a chance to raise money for them and for their efforts to help the Gavel Project in its mission to wage lawfare against people using these ideologies to hurt children. So people go to daughtersofthewestfilm.com. They can get access to the premiere event, they can get access to the digital copy, and then they can also get access to resources that will help parents and children navigate all this. I have a huge library of resources that people can get access to there so that they can get information that is good and information that is often censored.
And the film itself, the subject, this story, the story that's kind of the main story throughout the film, was a young girl who, in a school setting, right? And was it school, the school administrators or the school teachers that started to guide her into her choices? Is that where it started?
That's right. So there were people at the school that really coerced her. They basically groomed her into socially transitioning. As a result of that, she was sexually harassed by boys at the school. She was threatened sexually. Because she was in the boys' bathroom, she was being harassed by these boys. She ended up running away. She was then picked up by a pedophile, brought into a sex trafficking ring. She was raped and abused. Then the FBI rescued her. They called her parents. When her parents came to get her, her case had already been taken up by a radical gender ideology lawyer who was trying to use the case to set a precedent to take children away from parents if the parents will not affirm their new identity. They ended up in a long battle to try to get her back. The same lawyer filed an emergency order to keep Sage away from her home. Sage found this out, ran away again, was trafficked again, and then finally rescued and brought back home and has now detransitioned. And so the harm to this girl is unimaginable, and all the different adults that participated in this need to be held accountable.
And so the lesson here isn't what a horrible story for Sage, but it is, but that this is, there's networks set up to attract, groom, change our children's genders and transition them, and try to keep parents out of it. And you've got a highly complex network that's operating inside of our country. Is that the short version of what's happening?
That's right. You're looking at lawyers, judges, people running foster homes, teachers, counselors,
These are all the different professional individuals that were involved in what was done to Sage. And her story is just one example of this occurring. And that's with parents who are not consenting to this. You can imagine how quickly this goes along if a parent does consent to all of it. So we have to take into account all the different adults that are participating in this. And you're right, there are these networks that are very dangerous that will move it along very quickly.
When you're working with parents, do parents even believe that this is happening? I mean, I know it's happening because of the work that I do. And I'm so grateful for you. You have no idea. When you find someone who's doing what you're doing and they understand the significance and they understand the absolute evil that this is, are parents, can they see the connections between the gender ideology and then the end result? Are they making that connection? Or are people just dumbstruck when you start to tell them?
Yeah, I think for the most part, people are not quite aware of the severity of what's happening and how systematic this is. The way Simon explains it is spot on. And so a lot of parents are in the dark about this. They just think they're sending their children to school and kids are safe at school, and not understanding that there are people and systems in place that is doing exactly the opposite of what you're expecting schools to do. So that's just one aspect of it, right? And so, yes, and I really want to quickly touch on everything that Simon is saying. You know, I want to go back to the bills. When we're asking people to get activated, what I'm trying to warn parents is that it is moving really fast. There are bills. Minnesota today at 3:30 their time, Central Time, is introducing a bill to basically transition your child, and if you don't approve of it, you will lose custody. So the state will take over custody of your child if you do not provide or agree with gender affirmative care, and I use affirmative in quotes. California is introducing this bill. So all over the country, there are two extremes happening right now. There are bills that are being passed to try and mitigate this and protect children, and then there are states that are going the complete opposite and fast-tracking all of this. And so I want parents to understand, like, what is actually going on. And we can't wait until these laws are passed to try and fight back. We need to get in front of it. So yesterday we shared, and there was, you know, hundreds and hundreds of shares of our posts trying to get people down to the Capitol and to fight against this bill. And unfortunately, Minnesota is a left-leaning blue state. The likelihood of that bill passing is pretty, you know, pretty high, but it's worth it to fight because once the state is, you know, once these bills are passed, it's really next to impossible to remove the bill unless something is really unconstitutional and it goes through the, you know, the legal process and appeals and everything. But so I think parents, one, need to take this very seriously. Look into what's going on locally at your school. You know, stay connected to local groups. Stay connected to national groups like ours. If not us, find some group to plug into. There's Moms for Liberty and Moms for America, and there's so many groups to be a part of. Just be a part of something, because we all have to, you know, in this battle.
We need all the voices. Can I get you two to stay with me just one more break, and we'll finish this out? We're going to take a short break. Thank you so much. This conversation is so critically important for the future of our kids. This is Kathleen Wynn. You're listening to Wynn Tucson on 10:30 a.m. The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We're talking about our kids and their future and protecting them from those who mean to do them harm. We'll be back right after these messages. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson. We're talking to Zeke Smith and Simon Elser for discussion on the attacks on our children from cosmetic surgery to indoctrination of them, parents having to fight pressures coming from all sides. And we want you to check out the documentary, Daughters of the West, and Mom Army, mom-army.com. I went to the ABC News, and this is a quote from Minnesota. The lives of trans and gender expansive people in this nation are under attack. There is a full-scale movement in this nation against trans, non-binary, two-spirit, and gender-expansive adults and children that seeks to make our community disappear. How much of our communities are non-binary, LGBTQ, transgender? I mean, how much, what percentage of our communities is that? And whoever wants to go first.
The percentage is small. I'm not even, you know, I don't even think we should come from that angle, only because what's happening, you know, we get attacked all the time. We get called transphobic, we're right. anti-LGBT, we're homophobic, we're this hateful group. You know, on Twitter, they recommend that we get placed on the Southern Poverty Law Center, you know, hate group list against the, you know, the LGBT community. So all of it is a bunch of lies. You know, we are coming from a place of love and protection of children. That's it. I don't care what anyone wants to do as long as they do it, you know, respectful of the law and they're not hurting anybody. We're talking about children here. And so the language that is out there to mislead the public about what's happening in this country, because the bills that are coming to try and protect children, they're labeling these, you know, anti-trans, we're trying to genocide the trans community. And I mean, it's so hyperbolic. You know, when at the core of these bills, it is to protect children. They always leave the under 18 out. There were two bills that passed in Tennessee. Our group was part of the efforts on the ground there. And the bills state that you cannot have an all-ages drag show. 18 and under, absolutely not. It's now illegal. And they're screaming that drag shows are being banned in Tennessee. That's a lie. You can still have drag shows. You just can't have children at them. And so we're also having to fight all of the lies and gaslighting that's coming from the media. You know, unfortunately, their side has the mainstream media. You know, you read that from an ABC News clipping.
Right.
And so that's the other part of our battle, is going against the narrative that they're putting out to
we're bad
emotionally
people.
Charge people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That those that want to protect their children from these diseases. Go ahead, Simon. Sorry.
Well, it's so important to point out that there is no such thing as a trans child. This cannot exist. Scientifically speaking, it cannot exist. And I'll explain why. All the best studies, specifically, I'll say it, there's a study out of Toronto here. It's the longest large-term study on gender dysphoric children in the world. And they followed children with gender dysphoria from the ages of about 3 to 12. All the way, for 30 years, they came back and met up with them again 30 years later into adulthood, and 90% of them had desisted from their gender dysphoria, okay? It was not relevant to them once they were adults. They had grown out of it. Many of them had become gay. So the idea that a child can know they are trans is false, because all the best science shows that the majority of children desist. So to become trans is only something that a human being can decide as an adult, because that's how long it takes to know whether or not your gender
exactly.
dysphoria is something that is lifelong. So it's a lie that trans children even exist, and they are disinforming people willfully, and they're hiding the science of this from parents, and they need to know this, that you cannot label a child trans. It doesn't make any sense scientifically.
We have a caller who has a quick comment, if you don't mind. Go ahead, Charles.
This is a war of words. The other side on this has transphobic. We need a one word or a number of one word phrases that combats that, like reason phobic, for instance, or your gender dysphobia phobic. In other words, no, the problem isn't me, it's you. It is your gender dysphoria phobia that is the problem. And we need to be able to. This is a double barrel. You need to be able to just have two shots of reason to it, and have that combative be complete. I'd like your answer. I'll take it on the air.
Thank you.
I agree.
Yeah,
we
I agree.
Have, you know, we use very frank language. For yesterday's post about the Minnesota bill, we are deeming the bill a legal kidnapping of children
Good.
From their parents. So I don't mince language anymore. I say it exactly as it is, just like you said at the beginning of the show. It's mutilation of children. It's sterilization of children. It's, you know, life creating lifelong medical patients for the pharmaceutical companies. It's money that's being driven into this. It's profit over children.
It's greed.
So it's all these things. Yeah, it's greed. And until we, like the caller said, until we start speaking honestly and truthfully and boldly and unapologetically, the other side that is pushing this on our children is going to continue to win because they manipulate language and they lie. And we have to we don't need to manipulate language. We just need to speak the truth.
We see it with we see it with pedophilia, right? It's not pedophilia anymore. It's minor attracted people, right? People that are adults that are attracted to minors. Well, that's illegal. That's still against the law. And what concerns me is this bill that is banning so-called conversion therapy for LGBTQ children and vulnerable adults that won approval in the Minnesota House last month and is awaiting a floor vote in the Senate, which is what you were talking about. Mm-hmm. The fact that they anything for children that has a medical implication, that is the most dangerous. Why do we want the government involved in our medical decisions and also our child rearing decisions? That is not what our government, that's not in the Constitution. Find that for me in the Constitution of the United States. Where is that? It's not there. It's not in any our article. So why is our government now becoming our doctors and the pharmaceutical industry? If we didn't see it through COVID, we're never going to see it. They're out of control. And unfortunately, this started with, as Simon said at the very beginning of the show, this started with breast augmentation and maybe some facial things that, you know, maybe kids needed to get a nose job. They didn't, but you don't need to do that as a child. And the fact that we keep going younger and younger and younger and then put pressure on parents so that the media is raising our children, we're not. Go ahead.
The other part of the language, too, is to talk about this, that this is medical experiments on our children. This is Dr. Mengele, Nazi Germany level.
Exactly.
We are going to look back, you know, we are going to look back at this time in history and we are going to be horrified and mortified because it's so barbaric, you know, for those of us that are awake to all of this, it's really barbaric but for everyone else who's asleep and going along with it, they do not see the errors of their ways. And we have to start waking people up to the barbaric nature of all of this.
Go ahead. Go ahead, please.
I think that the way, you know, we need to help parents get good information. As I said earlier, this experiment has ended in the UK. This experiment has ended in Norway. It has ended in Sweden. And the reasons they gave was that it was not backed by science and that it was hurting children. And we are no longer going to follow the gender affirmative model. So if entire nations have gone back on this, how is it defended so strongly here? The only way it is continuing in America and Canada is information warfare. By keeping good information from people, they're able to continue it. So we have to spread the truthful information so that they're not allowed to do that anymore. And we need to get informed and we have to help inform parents despite the censorship.
I want to thank you both for being on. We're going, we're done in about 10 seconds. So thank you for joining Win Tucson on 10:30 a.m. The Voice. We'll have you back before the 15th to promote the movie. And thank you both for all your great work to protect our children. This is Kathleen Wynn. Go out and make it a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.